All right. Welcome to the Grease Trap, part four. I'm Adam Cantrell, and to my left is Dalton. Oh, wait a minute. You got something on your shirt. April Fools!
Dude.
I apologize for that.
I actually thought to myself, I was like, something's coming today, but I don't know what.
Dude,
that's all I get, hey.
I was slacking on my Mac, and I did not do one April Fool's at work, and I'm kind of disappointed that that's all I had.
Yeah, I got nothing. I've been too busy to be thinking about it, so I've been jet-setting, dude.
It's all I've been thinking about, and I've just been, it's put a lot of anxiety and pressure on me to try to do something, and it just culminated in that.
Well, fair enough.
Good jet-setter, what have you been up to? How was your week?
Good, man. So literally pretty much after we recorded the last one, we went to Florida, me and the boys. It was fun, dude. We had a lot of fun. Did a lot of disc golfing, did a lot of traveling around, dude. But I got some stuff to cover from the trip. The very first thing. So we get to the airport. We boarded Wednesday at 4:16 a.m. And obviously we're going to Orlando, so of course you got lots of families and shit. All going
who,
to
who came down.
It was me, Hunter, Whip, Woody, and then we were obviously going to Kevin's.
Okay.
So we're, you know, lots of families and stuff going to Orlando for Disney and shit like that. And I'm like on the third row of the plane, and because we're flying Frontier and I get that extended leg room seats,
yeah,
bro. I can't,
of course.
You know, I'm 6'2". It's not like I'm a giant, but I ain't trying to be crammed the whole time. So I got the third row. The first three rows are the extended leg room. And it just amazes me, dude, sitting there watching people get on the plane. Like, it doesn't even take that much thought to prepare yourself, dude, right? Like, look at your boarding pass. See what seat you're in. That's what row you're in. It's not that complicated. Like, it's really not. And so, like, I'm one of the first people on the plane, so I'm just sitting there chilling, watching all these people board. And there's this family that walks in, and you got, like, mom, dad, and, like, four kids. And they walk to the first row. And that's the time that they decided, oh, now that we're on the plane.
And now we'll check everything.
Now let's get our tickets out and let's figure out where the hell we're sitting, right? So I'm just sitting there dying, and I can't imagine living like that. Being like, we got a million people behind me, but now that I'm on the plane, let me figure out what I'm doing, dude. And it's just like, God,
people. I feel like I'm that person. And it for me, it's I would have checked before then, but then I would have got on and like second guessed
and
had
forgot.
Some. And I'd be like, well, not even forgot, but like double checked. Like, am I sure that this is what I saw? Like,
well, and dude, you're standing there before you even get into the plane. Like, you can see that you're getting ready to get in the plane, and like people are like taking their time. It's like you got all the time in the world, and you got nothing else going on. There's literally nothing to do other than look at what you have. I was just like, these people, man, just the audacity of these people, bro.
And that's the 4:16 a.m. sizzler, too.
That's the 4:16 a.m. sizzler. And like, that's the I'm getting old and I got no time for these people, bro. It's just crazy to me. It's like, get your shit together before you come on here for the sake of humanity, for the sake of other people, bro. Like, good God. But yeah, dude. So that was the flight there.
I'm already hitting this DPZ hard, dude.
Them Waffle House cups, bro.
I am just trying to ration it this whole time, but I am suckling it down.
So we get there, and then first day we play this course called Green Gauntlet, and that place is cool because Florida, you know, palm trees and gators and shit, and it's like you're playing disc golf in Jurassic Park, dude. The way that park looks, it's like you're in prehistoric stuff, dude. So that's cool. We had fun there and just like chill.
Is that where that peacock was? Or
no, that was in Clearwater.
Okay.
Cliff Stevens Park. Dude, the peacocks and stuff. That park that had the most nature going on that I ever have seen in any park that I've been to. So we get there and we play some holes, and we're probably on like hole five or something. And we see, bro, we were dying laughing. There's a body of water, obviously, and all this wildlife. And we're like, what is that in the water? And not joking you at all. It literally looked like there was a human being under the water, and they had speared a fish with a stick. And it looked like their body was completely underwater, but they had the stick out, and they were just dancing the fish up and down, dude. And we're like, what the hell is that? And so we start following it, And it gets to the edge, and we're not close enough to really see what it is yet. And we're like, holy shit, it's a snake. We're like, it's a snake eating a fish.
Seriously?
Well, so then we get even closer, and we're like, no, it's a bird. It's a bird that has a fish. It really was a bird. And so it had it like speared with its beak, and it was just like slowly swimming. And the bird was underwater.
That is what, like, was it like a, like a bird or like a,
bro, maybe this tall, period. It's not a gigantic bird.
That's a gigantic bird to me.
Florida.
That's a big, bro, fucking bird.
You got some birds in Florida that are like that far off the ground, dude.
I miss them. The closest thing we got here are like blue herons, and you want to talk about dinosaurs?
But that's how they are,
dude,
there.
When I saw, I remember walking with Wimpy on a trail when I lived in Troy, and I saw one of those, stood me in my tracks. I thought it was fake, because I had seen them from like a distance, and you'll see them on the river, like from the bridge, but to be like, I don't know, ground level with them, like yeah, just a few feet away, like it was crazy.
There's these ones where Marissa's parents used to live in their neighborhood. They're literally like this tall off the ground, and you can tell they're just done. They just kind of hop around, dude. And they're funny as hell. They were all in the neighborhood.
You think you could take one of them on?
Fuck yeah, dude.
That's what I'm saying, bro. You see these geese acting egregious, dude. You ever see
people afraid
like,
of no geese. That's what goose, I'm dude. Saying. I ain't afraid dude. Of no goose.
I see people like flipping out with these geese in the parking lot. And bro, I feel like I would just grab that thing by the neck and just hammer throw that
punt
bitch.
That thing, dude.
I would pick it up, I would twirl it, and yeah, I would just launch it into the tall grass.
I ain't afraid of no stupid ass bird, bro. All right,
good for you.
I'm now plenty of animals. I'll get to a few of those. Of course I'm afraid of animals, and there's plenty of animals that beat me. I'm not
well
I'm,
and there's some
I'm
birds.
I'm not an
like,
idiot. Yeah, there's some birds, dog. But yeah, there's a goose, hell no.
Yeah.
But
aquatic bird. No aquatic bird is going to slow me down.
But so this bird gets to the edge, bro. And this fish was a big catch for this thing. Like I said, this bird is like maybe this tall. And the fish is like that tall. And it flips its neck up and starts trying to gobble that thing, dude. And we were jiggling. And then we were talking about, dude, it took it. So it's in its mouth. It took it 3 minutes to even get it past its mouth into its throat, and then once it's in its throat, it starts jiggling like crazy, bro. And
dude, that sounds like me eating Jersey Mike's.
Yeah, straight up. And it starts jiggling, and then we're talking about that thing's dead, bro, because it had been in its neck. Chill. That thing had been in its neck for minutes, and Woody was talking about, dude, that's a real thing. Birds choke on fish. I was like, then that thing's done, dude, because that it bit off more than it can chew, and I'll be damned that thing after 5 minutes of jiggling, and it even like dipped down in the water to get water, like, oh, yeah, like it's Kobayashi eating hot dogs at Coney Island. Yeah. And it finally got it down, dude. And then we were cracking up because big fish compared to the bird, like, you know, as far as a lot of food, that bird just didn't move, bro. It was probably just in a food coma.
Yeah.
Dude, once it got that thing, it sat there and was just,
well,
perfectly
that fish
still
is probably just jiggling in its tummy, dude. It's gotta feel,
I know,
that's gotta feel weird.
And then right beside it, there was like five species of bird right in this little like patch of water with like some grass and like a little, you know, island, but real small. There was this big white bird, way bigger than the one that ate the fish. And it was just pouncing at insects, I think, dude. It was just picking them off, eating them. So a lot
what
of
a boring ass meal.
What a boring ass meal. And that thing's jiggling fish down its throat.
Yeah, and then you're working twice as hard as the fish jiggler, and you're getting nothing.
Nothing. And you're a bigger bird. But like it had like a long ass beak, so like it's probably, you know, set up to do that. But saw a gigantic gator, which that's an animal I ain't fucking with, bro.
No, dude, I don't understand people that get anywhere near those things.
So the course,
like, that's a fucking dinosaur.
It is a relic of that time. Yeah. The course that we were at, literally that course, a dude went in water to retrieve a bunch of discs and literally got eaten by a gator. So in Florida specifically, if I throw a disc in the water, I don't care if it's even, if I can see it, it's gone.
Yeah.
None of it is worth, a $20 disc is not worth my arm, finger, leg, face, life. Because
even if you use your like little pole thing, those things are quick.
Yeah, they're quick and you can't see them. They're expert hunters, yeah, dude. That's what they do. Yeah. So talking
they ain't
about
met me yet.
Talking about animals that like you gotta pick your battles, bro. And a gator ain't one I'm fighting. But yeah, so we saw this gigantic gator. We're like, shit, that's cool. And then we also saw a little baby guy a little bit later, probably a little like that. Now I'd probably go out, if I'm a prehistoric human and I need some food, I'll probably go after a little gator. But not a big one. And then, so then we play like a lot of it. And then we're coming back around and we start hearing this crazy ass sound, dude. It literally sounds like something is screeching for help.
Reproduce it to the best of your ability.
I can't. My voice is gone, dude. I can't get that high. I did a lot of just yelling this weekend.
Sounds like it.
But so we're like, what the hell is that? And then we saw that peacock coming over the train tracks and just kind of hangs out in the fairway. And it just makes crazy ass sounds, but it was cool seeing a peacock in real life, dude.
He's trying to get some of that pussy, trying to get some of that peacock pussy, just a squawk
it
out.
It was a male one, dude.
Did it do it?
It didn't. No, it kept it. It must
have been trying that hard.
It didn't think I was that hot.
It must not like the cut of your jib, boy.
Wasn't trying to get at me. But yeah, and then like at another course, I saw a gigantic turtle, probably biggest turtle outside of a zoo I've ever seen. But yeah, lots of wildlife, dude. Yeah. Pretty cool to see all that stuff. Seeing the highlight was a random peacock. There was more than one. We saw them like, they were like walking around a neighborhood. Imagine living in a neighborhood where you've got peacocks walking around. They just yelling at you.
That's
all day.
Wild.
Like, just screaming.
Well, you said last time you saw that armadillo, and I had no idea. I thought armadillos were like dry, heat, desert, like Texas, Arizona.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were wet, greasy swamp devils.
I didn't know either. And so, yeah, we were in Orlando, and I saw, and I was stoked because I'd never seen an armadillo in real life. And, yeah, they're greasy looking, dude. Cool little dudes, but, yeah, they're.
I'd have tried to pick it up.
They're greasy fellas. I don't know if they attack you or not. They just probably roll up, don't they?
Probably. I don't know.
But yeah, dude. The peacock, the bird eating the fish, all that was pretty slick, dude. Pretty fun. It's always cool to see stuff like that. We played a course, this private course. This dude, he's just an old hippie dude from New Jersey. Got a sweet property, and it's a glow course, and he's got like lights set up all red. Like you don't have to do anything. It's really cool. One of the more interesting things. So there's a course there in Orlando, and it's the one we normally play glow disc golf at. It's not set up for it, so we have to put in like glow sticks in the baskets and stuff. So we normally go there about when the sun goes down, like 8:30, set up the course, and then we play a few rounds while it starts.
Do the glow sticks, like, do you put a couple in the basket? Like, are they pretty bright?
Yeah, you hang them off changing scene from.
I'd like to do that one time.
It's really fun. It's really cool. And then the disc glow in the dark, too. You can see them from hundreds of feet away with the
glow
sticks.
Wild.
Yeah,
that's wild, man.
So we've played their glow disc golf probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. So this is not something new to us. We're very familiar with it. We're very familiar with that park. Something interesting about that park, though, that I got to get into is there's like kind of by one of the holes, there's this dock that it's a long dock that leads to the water. And the very first time we go out there, you just see all these like mid-20s to young 20 dudes in tank tops and like short shorts, and they're all on their phones. And when I say a lot of them, I'm talking 20 to 30 at any given time that you're looking. They're all on their phones. They're all sitting in park benches. And they'll like come up and sit beside each other. And then they'll go back to the dock. And we were making a joke for y'all get up in arms. Nobody cares about anybody being gay. But it is literally a gay hookup spot in Orlando.
Damn.
Confirmed by people we know that are gay. That know about the place.
Good for them.
And dude, it's just so funny though, and it shows like the horniness of dudes, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
Because, dude, matches are being made there every fucking 30 seconds, dude. And they're just walking around and they just go back to the dock. It, you know, it's kind of in a, once, like you can see them walking down the dock, but you can't see what they're doing. And it's like in a secluded area, I assume, back there. But so, like, that's something we always talked about, how we're in their space, bro, when we go play. Because, like, normally nobody's playing disc golf. We're putting up glow lights and rooting it, usually drinking, rooting and tooting, fucking throwing discs and whatnot, and just, like, all up in their space. But, yeah, we just – so, like, every time we go – and we call it the cock dock, right, you know, because that's, like, what's going on there. And so every time, literally just – it seems like hundreds of dudes going in and out of there. I'm probably exaggerating that number. But so this time.
Good for them.
I know, right? This time we go in there and we pull in, I don't know, like call it 8:30. And we get out of the car, get our bags out, put our shoes on, spray down with bug spray, all this and that. getting ready to go. It's about 8:40. There's a park ranger there, and he comes up to us and he goes, hey, just so you guys know, this park closes at 9 o'clock. Keep in mind, we've been out there till midnight, 1 a.m. playing glow disc golf, popping, dude. Yeah. This part, it's very popping. And he's like, the gates will close. There are gates. They're just never closed. The gates are closed and shit. And we're like, okay. So I just go to hole one or whatever. And I'm like, I'll just empty my bag and throw just for fun since I'm here, since we're going to have to leave. So Woody, Whip, and Kevin don't go. Hunter's not there. He went to the pool. But so I just like throw some discs, whatever. It takes me like 10, 15 minutes. Woody walks over to me. They're all drunk. I'm the DD. And Woody walks up to me and he goes, dude, we're talking over there. He goes, should we try to bribe him?
Hilarious.
I go, no, bro.
Hilarious.
Like, I know that's a park ranger, but that's a fucking federal employee, dude. That's a federal.
And there's nothing else. You guys couldn't just make a plan B, like.
Well, so yeah, should we bribe him, dude?
Yeah, and hilarious.
I was like, terrible idea. Yeah, guys. That's terrible.
The drunk scheming that goes on with that group of people. Dude, I know, our group of friends.
I know, and so like, I was like, no.
The amount of unnecessary schemes that we have cooked up,
trying to bribe a park ranger, dude. Yeah. Like, dude, get out of here. Hey, that's a terrible idea. Just had me dying. But so we pack our stuff up, and this is even funnier. We pack our stuff up and we're like, all right, let's camp out and just see if he like leaves or whatever, right? And see what happens. So there's like 1 minute away, there's like a Chili's parking lot. They have all these like twisted teas and shit and a cooler because they're getting, you know, that's what we do. We go out there and drink. And like I said, I was DDing, but so now we're just both like, I actually had a really good time. Like, this doesn't sound like it'd be fun for me as the designated driver, but it was fun, dude. Like, we were just in a Chili's parking lot. They're like shotgunning twisted tees, like just bullshit and like having fun.
Bro, I'll fuck up a Chili's, dude.
Yeah, well, we did not go in the
yeah,
Chili's.
Yeah, but still, yeah, yeah. That's the kind of environment that Chili's cultivates
where you can hang out in the parking lot. So we're bullshitting out there and having a good time. And so then we wait until like 9:10 and we drive back by and the gates are closed and the park ranger is like sitting out front and we're driving. We rented a van. So we're in a big white van. And like, it's funny because Kevin's in the front seat and he like leans down so that the park ranger can't see and that we're like scoping the scene. And so then we go back to the Chili's parking lot for like 10 more minutes. They may drink more twisted teas. And then we decide we're going to hop the fence and go play anyway because he did leave. And there's like an apartment complex there that you can park by. Woody is reliving his youth, dude, and just is jazzed to hop fences, dude. He's like, I'm hot. So the
is he like stretching and shit?
No. He's just like vocally very excited to hop these fences. And so we park in this apartment complex. This had me dying. So we pull in this apartment complex, just one turn, park. There's a fence next to where we're parked, which we can just walk around it, you know, like we literally pulled in there. And then there's a fence to the apartment complex and then the fence that we would need to hop to get into the park. And Woody goes, right when we park, I'm going to hop that fence. I'm going to hop that fence. And then I'm going to hop that fence. And I was like, Woody just wants to hop fences. I was like, we don't even need to hop those two. So we get out of the car and we're like getting ready to get ready. And Kevin goes, is this a dumb idea? And they're like, well, Sizzle sober. See what he's got to say. And I go, I'm in, but here's, I'll tell you what the worst case scenario is. Cause this is as bad as it could possibly be. Me, I get a trespassing charge. You three get a trespassing charge and public intoxication. I go, that's the actual worst case scenario.
Is that really that big of a deal?
So that's, I said, I'm willing to get a I don't think a trespassing charge really matters. So I was like,
and is public intox really that big of a deal?
Right. So I was like, I'm sober and I'm down. And then ultimately, like, Whip and Kevin were kind of like, I don't like that. I was like,
poor Woody.
Well, so I know he didn't even get to hop his fence. But I thought to myself, like, I think they would have had we not interacted with that guy. Because if he came, he'd be like, dude, I told you guys you can't be in here. Where if we were fresh, we could have, like, played it off a little more. And he might have been like, yeah, here's your warning, whatever. But I was like, that's the actual worst case scenario for real. So I was like, make your choice with that. So that's the night we ended up just going out to the bar. But yeah, that Woody did not get to hop his fences, and he was very, very excited to do so.
That's hilarious.
The first night we woke up there, I wake up in the middle of the night and have to pee, and I get back in bed after that, whatever, wake up in the morning. I woke up and told Whip, because I was sleeping on an air mattress in the guest room. Whip was on the guest bed. And I was like, bro, you're lucky. I woke up this morning with a fierce pee boner, dude. And he was like, bro, me too. And I was like, you could have got clapped this morning, dude. And so that's, I only need to tell that for this later story. So we go play at that Hippies Glow course that night. And somehow, some way, the pee boner got, I think it was me. I said something about the pee boner. And
it's one of our most useful resources, especially in the morning.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that. But so I said, so I woke up with a pee boner this morning. Da, da, da. Hunter goes, what do you mean, pee boner? And the rest of us go, what do you mean? What do you mean, pee boner, dude? And so I was like, I know this one ain't weird on me. I was like, So if you're not familiar, to our one female listener, maybe our 0.5 female listener, a pee boner is nature's defense system for us, to where we don't piss ourselves in the middle of the night, because it's hard to piss with a boner. So it protects you from peeing the bed. But yeah, he was like, I never get pee boners, dude.
Is he just pissing all over the place? Like, what in the hell?
He didn't say that, bro.
Because, like, for those of you that don't know, also, when the bladder gets full, the penis actually acts as a reservoir for excess urine. and the balls will store a lot of that urine,
too. He stored in the balls.
But, yeah, dude, pee boners will... And, because when you wake up in the morning, you're like, God, I don't feel like getting out of bed. And I feel like that rock hard peacock is just, hey, peacock.
Peacock.
Hey. It's just keeping you safe. It's buying you some time. That's wild. So never, no more. That is what morning wood is, no? I've always got to pee in the morning.
Man, I think that most commonly, yes. But I think you can just like get a random boner.
I ain't got a random chub since I was... like 19 years old.
That's funny. But yeah, I was just shocked. You learn something every day, dude. You think you know these people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I couldn't believe. Yeah, he tried to act like we were fools for the pee boner, dude. And I was like, man, what a world I live in.
Who's shaking out of that crew?
Oh, I did ask, and we're 100% shakers, bro. I have asked around. And you're in the minority, dude.
I've definitely got the smallest penis out of all of us. you could picture me, what I probably look like naked, and I guarantee you, whatever you're picturing is 100% accurate.
you don't leave anything to the imagination.
No, not at all. Not at all.
That's funny. Yeah, dude, but we had fun, man. It was a good
Sounds
trip.
Like it. Yeah, that would be fun, man.
When we were at the bar getting drunk, there's one of our friends, gay dude, and Hunter, Whip, and Woody were all drunk, and he wasn't. He works at the place, and they're all like circling him, dude. This is at the end of the night, and they're like sitting. He's sitting down, and they're all like circling him, and they're like, "So, dude, if you had to, which one of us are you banging, dude?
Who'd he choose?"
He's
probably loving that.
No.
Oh, not at all.
He looked at me and he was just like, what is with these?
I guess that would be, that he would not love it. Cause like what chick, like picture a girl, picture a heterosexual woman.
Yeah.
That's actually insane. Now that I think about it,
his line, he was like, what are you straight men need all this validation for? He was like, what is going on, dude?
I would have unfortunately been definitely in that ring with him, because I didn't even think about how fucking weird that would be to fucking present that.
Yeah, dude.
That is fucking odd.
Where he's just like being circled like sharks.
Oh,
dude.
Man.
Yeah. Had me jiggling. This is interesting. I forgot all about this. Didn't even plan to talk about this. A random at the bar told me a story. I don't remember how we got here. But told me a story about how when they were, every time that they piss in a urinal, they think about this, they said. I don't know how we're getting to all these bathroom stories. This one's not really related, but like, this is just funny. So he said every time he uses the urinal, he thinks of this. He was like, in the first grade, he goes into the bathroom at school and doesn't have an answer as to why, but pulled them britches down and took a shit in the urinal, dude. Yeah. Yeah.
As a rebel or?
No. Like, I asked. I said, why were you doing that? Like, you just didn't know. You thought it was funny. Like, and they didn't have an answer. They were like, I'm not
That's
quite.
Some antisocial shit.
Yeah, bro. Like.
I'm not joking.
You're concerned, bro.
You don't just be doing that. You don't just be doing that.
And then they said that a teacher walked in and saw them doing
and
it.
And went right next to him and did the same thing.
And the teacher walked in and saw them and obviously like reprimanded them and like they got like in trouble or whatever. And I guess that just like scarred them. And it's like literally every time they said they used the urinal, they think about that time they shit in it. And
well, they should, because now you know not to do that. Like, that's one thing where you should think about all the insignificant moments from your childhood that you remember.
Yeah,
that doesn't surprise me. That definitely should just remain locked in there, because you shouldn't be doing that. I thought you were going to say like how them young boys just be dropping their britches to their ankles, bro, and just be peeing in urinals.
No,
I was just thinking of that. At what age do we stop doing that? And like, would it be socially unacceptable for me to do that now as an adult?
Yes. Yes, it would be. You're not getting away with that. Just showing cheek, dude. I think everybody's had the idea to shit in the urinal as a joke.
Yeah, because it's so obvious that you don't. That's the you know, when you boil it down, that's we shouldn't do this, but that's funny and poop.
Yeah, I just love that there was no specific answer as to like why they did it. Just an intrusive thought as a kid, I guess.
Probably trouble at home would be my guess.
Just leads you to randomly pick to use a urinal. Yeah, dude, I forgot about that. That had me laughing, dude. It's also weird being in a bar, not drinking.
I've only done that like one time, and it's been years and years ago.
I was there for like 4 or 5 hours, and I didn't even realize this until later in the night that something that I was subconsciously doing. I drank like 8 to 9 glasses of water. Just because like you're in that social setting, I've been in bars a shit ton, and like you're used to just like drinking and crushing drinks. And I was just kind of an autopilot on that part of my brain and was just like crushing water. And so I was like, damn, I'm hydrated,
bro. I'd have just got jazzed up on Coke Zeros or something. I mean, probably. That's why mocktails are a thing.
Yeah, but I ain't gonna be out there paying. They'll give you Coke. They'll give you like Coke Zero for free, I'm sure, but I ain't paying money for a mocktail.
And I guess I can't speak from my own personal experience, but I feel like if I'm a recovering alcoholic, a mocktail would be like, that's dangerously close to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you were having problems with like alcohol, you're faking it, right?
Yeah, and the zero beers or whatever, like, again, you're just kind of flirting with disaster, I feel like.
Dude, I knew a dude that was a recovering alcoholic and really fixed his life up and stuff and wasn't drinking anymore. But when he told me this, I was like, holy shit. But I guess you got to do whatever you got to do. He would drink a 30 or a 24 pack of O'Doul's every night.
Probably just that muscle memory, you know, because when quitting cigarettes, one of the hardest things to do is like, what do I do with my hands when I'm driving? Right. And like, you kind of build these routines. So like, I get the idea. Some people need to replace that.
Yeah, I mean,
whatever that is, that
and like, he fixed his life up and all that, so it's worth it, clearly. But could you imagine just drinking 24
of anything
every night, dude?
Other than beer,
yeah,
I couldn't do beer every night.
No, not
24 beers gonna put me down.
Yeah,
I've done that before, but it's gonna put me down.
Yeah, but yeah, I'd like that replacement and just drinking that much fluids, dude. Crazy,
good God.
But yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do. I get that. Man, we were talking about, I was laughing talking about one time when I was working at a job, one of my managers was this, gross ass dude, just a cool dude, but gross in meaning he had a bad ass. He would fart and it would just be terrible, dude. And, one time he always farted on me, dude, and it was gross. So I try to get him back, and he's sitting in the chair. And I pop my ass up on him and push out that fart as hard as I can and accidentally shit my pants.
How did I know? Dude, I swear to God, I just knew that that's where that was going.
Yeah, so I literally, the only thing in between my shit and his shoulder was my underwear, my pants, and his shirt.
Bro, you've got no business. Your asshole is too weak to be even trying to force anything out, dude. Like
that's what you get for playing with me. I don't got control over it, and I'll release it on you.
That's gnarly. You have got the weakest asshole. You've shit your pants more in your adult life than anybody else that I know.
I absolutely have.
You got no business playing the game.
Absolutely. I got one in 2024. I didn't tell him about it that day. I went home, cleaned my britches up, and then came back. But the next day, I told him, I was like, remember when I farted on your shoulder while I shit on you? Anyways, that was all to get to this. I told that story over the weekend, and somebody said that one of their friends had done the same thing, essentially, but it was getting out of a car. And you know them two-seaters, or not two-seaters, two-door yeah. cars, where you have to, the person either has to get out, push the seat up, you got to get out. Well, he was trying to get out of the car, and the dude didn't want to get out of the car, so he did the little half squeak where you'd like kind of lean up, and so now it's hard as hell to get out of the car. So as punishment, he goes to fart on the dude as he's getting out and shits his pants. So he shits his pants right in that dude's face.
Probably fills up the whole backseat of that car.
I know. But then, so what we got to laughing at was that's what you get for trying to use your butthole as a weapon, dude. Like,
it'll always backfire.
It'll always backfire, dude. You like, because the situation is you have to, it's a bang bang situation. You got to push. It's not a situation where you can wait on it and then let it out. You have to actually give that sphincter a go, dude.
And that's one thing, a promise I'm making to myself. I've kept it for years that one thing I will never do on this earth is get in the back seat of a two-door coupe.
I'm done with it too, bro.
Done. My weekend wasn't as exciting as yours.
usually we're reversed, so I'm glad I had something.
Yeah,
no,
this is Easter, obviously.
Oh yeah, dude, I forgot all about Easter. To be honest with you.
Yeah, some of us still celebrate, all right.
Yeah, did you put in your Keister eggs?
I still got them in, boy. no, but speaking of eggs, I was like, all right, I put this all on me. So last year was the first time I ever made deviled eggs, and they were all right. I was like, I'm going to make some fucking deviled eggs. Yeah, it was a thought I had about a week prior. And I wanted to make them. I got two trays. They each hold two dozen, like half eggs, you know, like the little deviled egg. And I was going to do half sweet relish, half dill relish. My dad's side of the family is a sweet relish. Mom's side of the family is dill relish. I like best of both worlds. I will fuck up some deviled eggs. I can literally just, I don't know about you.
So I love eggs always. Deviled eggs is one of my least favorite. I know. And everybody loves them. It's not that I won't eat one. I will eat one. But of the ways eggs can be prepared, it's bottom barrel for me.
Then you're not going to be able to relate at all with part of this story. But just know that I can suck them down. Know that it takes restraint for me to remind myself that there are other members of this family gathering that want to eat deviled eggs. Because I will fuck them up. Historically, I can't peel an egg to save my life.
Right.
I mean, I'm chunking it up. I've been told a million different ways. I've looked up a million different ways. I've tried a million different ways. I can't get a clean peel. Any suggestion you've got, I promise you, already done it. Ice bath. I've let them boil, then put the egg in. I put the egg in and then let it boil. I use salt. Some people say put vinegar in it. Whole nine yards. So what I do to mitigate is I just get about twice as many eggs as I need with the expectation that about half of them are just going to get jacked up and be unusable. And I'll keep the yolk and just make a big batch of the innards.
Yep.
Okay. You with me? So I've got 3 dozen eggs and then like another half dozen. It's like 42. It might've been like 45 eggs. I basically had a dozen, and there was a couple that were taken out, and then I had 3 dozen.
Right.
Boil them all. The method I chose, in case you were wondering. threw the eggs in room, just faucet water, okay? Threw it on the heat. When it started boiling, then I set the timer for like 9 minutes.
Okay.
Removed them. Ice bath. You know, ranch. I did several batches. Like, I've got probably, we'll just say 45. I've got like 45 eggs. Okay. This is Wednesday because I knew it was going to be a time commitment and I had to leave Friday. So that gave me Thursday to make them, throw them in the fridge. Fast forward to the next day, Thursday. I'm going to town. I start peeling them. And what you know, if the first peel just slid right off, I go, okay.
All right.
Threw it in the bucket. Go on to the next one. And then I realized as I was going, because I was like feeling like the first one was like really deliberate. And so then I'm feeling cocky. And so I start manhandling the next one and it chunks it up. And that's when I realized I wasn't screwing up boiling them. I was screwing up peeling them. Because what I would do is I'd crack the egg. And once the shell would get going, I would kind of like manipulate it in such a way with my hand to kind of get the crack going more. And in doing that, I'm just destroying that egg.
Of course.
Okay, Mr. Obvious.
Maybe watch a YouTube video one time.
Now, I do. I don't know, man. Just don't. And I'm like peeling it underwater. Running water, I think, has helped. So I only boogered up like one egg. So every one of them eggs came out perfectly, which means I have an insane amount of eggs at this point.
Right.
Yeah. So I made like 90 deviled eggs.
Right.
And so I was going to town. I wasn't really paying attention. I was like FaceTiming with Ernie. And I looked at the recipe and I was like, all right, half cup mayonnaise, quarter cup relish, and then a tablespoon of mustard. I put a quarter cup of mustard in that thing, dude. And the sweet relish one.
I mean, come on. All that work just to let your attention lapse?
Bro, I'm telling you, all in. Me shucking, peeling and chucking them eggs.
All was, that work.
Dude, was over an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It was a long time.
Yeah.
I bet you I had close to 4 hours wrapped up in all
of
this.
Of course.
Not counting the pre-boil the night before. Like, it. Yeah. So I go, shit, man. And so then I'm like trying to scoop out excess mustard, but it's just guesswork at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Redo it. Scrap it.
No, dude. Because I want to make the dill ones, and I've already used like half my eggs on. Like I ruined a fair amount of eggs. But anyway, I started like mad scientist. I was like, oh, just add more mayonnaise, a little dash of horseradish, throw some more relish in there. I got it tasting all right.
Okay.
I got it tasting all right. I don't have a piping bag, so the trick is throw the filling in like a
Ziploc.
Yep. Kind of. But I've used a freezer bag in the past. I don't have a freezer bag. I got this sandwich bag, and I cut too big of a hole, and I'm just shitting out. They're just not the prettiest presentation you've ever seen. Okay.
Sounds like just from other than the original egg part, this is you just ain't got it figured out.
Well, batch number two. Okay, how do we learn, Dalton?
You learn from your mistakes, and yes. You learn to slow down and pay attention to what you're doing.
And that's why the dill batch, I'm telling you, it was a hit.
You could have had two hits.
It was a hit.
Could
dude.
Have two hits.
And because that one, I was like kind of just like pulling some Bob Ross. I was like, let's throw in a little horseradish. I took the cup of mayonnaise, and I've only put it about 3/4 of the way full, put the rest with Arby's horsey sauce. So it's like a mayo horsey thing.
Did you just go steal a tank of it from their pumps?
Bro, I got my sources. Just a year of just several packets. I threw some chives in there, real fine.
Ooh, chives?
Dill relish. And like I was cutting it up, garnished them with some smoked paprika and like a little dill tree. Bro, they were an international hit. So I filled up the trays. Then I had like another 20 that I took to work. And then I had all this filling, dude. And I just had these Ritz crackers because I had them left over from my other meal prep that I was doing.
So you're just hitting, you're just piping Ritz crackers?
Dude, not even. I put them in a bowl and I like threw some dill and like some paprika in that. Bro, the Nicaraguans dug it. The Cubans dug it. The Venezuelans dug it. Dude, I'm an international hit. Like they genuinely, Dalton, they were on fire.
That's funny.
They were a hit. So again, that was Thursday. Friday I head to Marion. Easter's not till Sunday. Bro, deviled eggs meant to be eaten shortly after you make them.
For sure. For sure.
So Sunday comes along. And things are just swimming in their own
juice. Oh, dude.
Dude, the sweet relish was just a train wreck. Like, I like thought about taking each one out and trying it off with the
paper. Oh, my God. Don't you ever do something like that to me, be drying off food for it. I don't want no food you got to dry off before you give it to me.
I was literally pouring water out. And I think that one is because, like, it was so sloppy from piping. What I did with the dill, yeah, it was just so sloppy from piping in that bag. The dill, I just scooped it, and they were perfect. And they were not really watery at all because, like, there wasn't a bunch of – but I'm telling you, I just came deviled egg filling all over. I mean, it was just globs. It was – the presentation was off. The mix was terrible. And then I thought they tasted good.
I fucked this bag up. Let's not transfer it and get a better piping situation here. Let's just live with what I've done.
With it, dude. I was just at that point, dude, you have no idea. I was starting to get frustrating because I didn't realize what an undertaking it would be. And it's an undertaking I brought on myself. Nobody asked me to make these eggs. So anyway, I'm putting a hurting on these eggs come Sunday. And people ate them. But, dude, you got to remember, it's literally just me, Lindsay, mom, and dad.
Right.
And I've got 48 deviled eggs because I expect them to be as much of a savage as I am. And I'm just a little monster. Erin had a couple of them. She came over, met the parents.
Yep.
So anyway, I leave. And I've got one of them containers, dude, and it's a mix of the sweet and the dill. And I bet you I have 16 deviled eggs. And it's a long road to Cincinnati, boy. I'll tell you that.
Just dying.
And so I'd already consumed probably probably 8 to 10 deviled eggs at home. It hit me just before I got to Kings Island. It's dark now. I got a late. Bro, I grab that sack. I bring it up. It's dark. I have to turn the cabin light on in my vehicle. I fucking lay waste. I'm driving with my knees. I'm going like 80 mile an hour down 275, swerving, just sucking them, dude. I am like swerving in and out of my lane, balancing a tray of deviled eggs, and my lights are on. It's dark. Everybody's got to be able to see what the hell is going on. And everybody, dude, like I'm like neck and neck with this guy who had to have been like intentionally doing that just to confirm, like,
just to be, he's seeing this dude sucking yeah, deviled eggs.
There might be a video of me doing it that I'm not aware
you're
of.
The egg devil, dude, but you're who they made those about, dude.
Daddy, let me tell you, I sucked down all 16 of them.
Oh my God.
So think of, so here's, for some reason in my
wet
in my wet fingers, wet sticky
fingers,
just
sticky,
yolky
eggs
having to grip that steering wheel. And so I'm the first, and they're 4 day old.
That's disgusting.
For some reason, and I thought you would agree with me. But
and like car temperature.
Yeah. Well, I thought you would agree with me, but I don't think you will.
No.
When I say
I don't need to know.
Yeah. When I say with deviled eggs, like they seem innocent enough to just pop a bunch of them down, but. You think about it, it's half an egg. So if yeah. I ate, so think of it like.
You ate 8 eggs.
I ate more than that. I had to have eaten like 10 eggs, dude. Between what, my house and the car. In the car, I had 8 eggs, essentially, if you think about it.
Just sucking down.
And like, dude, and like, so like, so, and then obviously when I'm making them Thursday, I'm popping them Thursday night. I'm popping eggs. My dude at work makes this egg salad. I'm hitting eggs on that. I'm sneaking some Saturday eggs and
you need an incubator at that
point. Dude, I woke up this morning, immediately had to pop 2 Imodium with my vitamin.
Of course.
I get home from work today. What the, is 8? Is that?
It's 8:10.
Okay. About 4 o'clock, 4 hours ago, is when the first fart hits me, which is crazy because I've been eating these for 4 days, and my system is that backed up that them eggs are just now hitting me. Damn. Dude. Like, I could smell them. Those eggs are just now hitting me, bro.
Just straight sulfur?
Yeah, it's bad.
I believe
it. It is bad, dude. And I, yeah, so that was, I mean, I was sucking down a good deal of them.
Yeah, bro. So, like I said, they're bottom barrel for me. I don't.
That's crazy.
I bet you.
They're so good.
I bet you the most I've ever eaten in one day in my life has been three halves, so an egg and a half.
That's probably a normal serving.
That's probably the most in my entire life that I've eaten in one day.
Even your average like person that appreciates deviled eggs would be like, yeah, that's a normal person serving. I'm going to have nobody on my team for the sheer quantity, but certainly know that deviled eggs are just an incredible little barbecue family get together.
So they're always there. And so what happens to me, usually here's what happens. You know, all that food's out. I grab my plate and I'm like, everybody loves these things. I've had them and I don't really love them. So I'll grab one and I'll be like, if they're fire, I'll grab another one. And then I like take a bite of the one and I'm like,
Let me whip you up some eggs, boy.
You always do. Everything you eat that I don't like, that I'm not nuts over, you're like, I want a paper towel. Dripped
I'll
off.
I'll give it to you fresh.
Deviled egg.
I'll give it to you fresh. I worked out the kinks. It's all smooth sailing now. But yeah, man. So that's just Bubble Gut City, USA. Met her parents, too.
Nice.
Glad the farts staved off until I got here.
Imagine that. You just see. That is a ruiner move. Eat 32 eggs and go meet the parents.
And then, well, it is like, there's only like four of us here, and I'm the fattest one in the room. That's the thing, dude, about farts, bro.
It does come down to everybody looks around, whoever's the fattest, that's who the fart gets pinned on.
I'm usually the fattest person in most scenarios, which sucks, because whenever a fart gets dropped in a public setting, all eyes are on me, dude. Always. I am a fart scapegoat.
I wonder what your lifetime count is. How many farts have been blamed on you?
I don't know, but bro, I'm telling you, people are just farting in public and then just looking at me, immediately trying to pin that on you, dude. And everybody's going to say, yeah, that guy, that greasy fucking son of a bitch definitely just shit his
pants. Yeah, it was him.
But we're still, our relationship's so new that my butthole is still very timid around her. So I haven't opened the butthole door yet, and she probably would prefer me to keep that thing shut. Especially after
it'll come
30
out. It'll show itself.
So what I've got now is I'm just letting Wimpy out the pee like 42 times a night, just sneaking farts out.
That is a hilarious technique.
I got a technique for you. All right, so this is it, the incognitus, and you have to hope that it doesn't stink. All right, and I can usually know based on what I've eaten. There's a lot of pre-thought that goes into these farts, but if I'm sitting there
premeditated,
dude, I will literally spread my butt cheeks apart because the sound is, I think a lot of your cheeks are doing a lot of that. Dalton, I'm serious. You spread your cheeks and it just goes... Dude, I have done that so many times. I have got it down to where I can just be like, if we're laying down, I can like twist, I can manipulate my body in such a way that I can just.
Bro, she probably just knows and doesn't tell you because every time you do that, you probably sit there and go.
I definitely giggle. And I'm definitely giggling.
So it's not that I'm not aware of, it's not necessarily your cheeks. It's just like. If it's tighter, it's more likely to whistle on you, right? Just like your lips, dude. So I know what you're talking about where you can kind of get yourself a little grazer. For me, being a pant shitter, that's not a good idea. You don't want that to be that open, dude. I don't want that kind of path.
All that deviled egg water would just spill out.
Dude, I need to be able to squeeze that at a moment's notice. That can be the difference between it showing in my britches and me being able to damage control that, dude.
Your poor asshole is just so, it's got no, it's like a rubber band that's been stretched too far. There's no like snapback. But yeah, we just haven't crossed that bridge yet. Like I'll even like sit down and be like, all right, today's the day I'm going to poop. But my apartment is so small and you hear every noise. Like, dude, like I'll even like run the bathtub. I'll create more questions. Like, why did you just run the bathtub for 5 minutes, dude? And you're coming out of there bone dry. Like,
that's one that I actually got you beat on when me and Marissa's relationship was new. One of our first trips we took together was to go to a concert in Cleveland. And we got an Airbnb and small little cool little place. There's only one bathroom, and we had like pretty much just gotten there. We're getting ready to, you know, like start our night or whatever. And she goes, I'm getting in the shower. Cool. Well, I have to shit. So I just go in that bathroom and start shitting, bro. And she goes, are you shitting in here? I go, yeah. And she just starts cracking up, dude. And like,
damn, boy, that's egregious. It's flagrant.
And
dude.
I mean, hey, dude, we're getting married now. Look at us, like, whatever. Yeah. You're gonna have to do that over time. Like, why not just start?
Yeah, but I don't know. I think I'd be able to hold it. I don't know that I'd ever need to do that.
I'm not trying. Like, I don't want to hold it. Like,
I don't
want
to hold it.
like, there's no reason to. Like, you know, why? I get why. There is a reason to, but I was like, there's no reason to play that game.
It's not a game.
What, does she think I don't shit? She thinks I just don't shit?
Yeah, I got it, but that doesn't mean you need to be in the room with, like, your poop fecal flakes just infest in the air. And while she's trying to get clean, now she's got a layer of oil on her body, and now the water won't penetrate to her skin because that oil.
Hey, that's gonna be my wife, dude. Whatever.
God damn, dude. That's fucking
You'll
wild.
Get there. You'll get there.
Bro, that's wild.
You'll
man.
Get there.
Bro. I think she'll get there before I get there. Because I bet you she wouldn't mind. I mind. And I wouldn't even mind if she did it to me. I'm like that. I don't care if somebody were to do that to me. But in my head, I don't want to do that to somebody. And that's me putting that on myself.
Dude. That's funny, dude. Yeah, I didn't even think twice about it, bro. I swear to God. Like, crazy. Like in that moment, you might think that I was like, that was some like conscious decision I made. No, it was just, she's in there showering. I have to shit. I'm going in there and taking a shit.
That's unreal, dude. That's unreal.
But I didn't even think about it until she questioned it. But then, yeah, she thought it was hilarious. So good for me.
I meant to say this early on, but I actually wanted to start the show with two corrections.
Okay.
It's Friendle. Not Prendle.
That's the book where they renamed. You followed up with me, but not with them. So.
Yeah, that's the book where they renamed the pen and everybody starts calling it Friendle. That was written by Andrew Clements. So that wasn't a figment of our imagination. That was a book.
Yep.
And then Ordinary Sausage. That's the YouTube channel where that guy just makes sausage. It's not how it's sausage. It's Ordinary Sausage.
Ordinary Sausage.
Ordinary Sausage on YouTube. I'm telling you, it's just one of them things where dude's got ton of videos. Super unique lane he's got carved out. Most of it that I've seen so far is like normal food. Some of it looks really good, and then like he's got like a menthol one and just like That's obvious funny. Gross things. But yeah, so check it out, Ordinary Sausage and Friendle. So I've been watching a lot of that. Watched a couple movies. Now it's time for Cinema Talk.
Cinema Talk,
and we're gonna get kind of tie in with the things that piss me off again. Okay.
Okay.
This never used to bother me, and I don't know if it's like my attention span is getting shorter, which it is. Like, as with everybody, I feel like I've noticed.
Bro, not me. I'm immune to that.
With me, it is, dude. But not enough to where like I can't enjoy like movies and stuff. And I'm usually pretty good about setting my phone aside if I need to. And, but, bro, I'm getting tired of these three plus hour movies. Like, if it's warranted,
I'm with you on that.
But Christ almighty, dude, I feel like they've gotten in this mode of just like longer is better. And it's like so many movies, like I was talking, the album would have been better cut down.
Yeah.
So many movies would be better without changing anything at all, except cutting
it down
so much fat off that.
Yeah. I'll give you an example. One like Oppenheimer needed that time.
Yeah.
The Oppenheimer. Yeah. And it did. Cause dude, that was a really long movie. It didn't feel long and they didn't waste any time. No, that was a movie that needed that time.
And like, dude, I'll even say like, I know people get pissed off about the Marvel movies, but like Endgame and shit like needed that long run time, but they had spent a decade
building
setting
up
it
stuff,
up there was,
yeah.
And there wasn't a dull moment in that movie.
Yeah.
But the one I saw was called Bo is Afraid.
Okay.
It's an A24 movie. Jacqueline Phoenix.
Yep.
Jacqueline. Dude that made Hereditary and Midsommar.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen those. So you know, it's going to be weird and out there. I don't even know. I liked it. It was a good movie. But it was just, there was no need for it to be as long as it was. And there's this one part in particular where it's like, I get kind of what they're trying to do, but it like got off on its own tangent. I think it was like catered to like people that are on acid.
Yeah.
Like it just got on its own. But it is, I don't even know how to describe it. It is just the most bizarre movie I've ever seen in my entire life. Joaquin Phoenix just plays this dude that is just like, scared of everything, and like it's this fictitious world, like this crazy dystopian, like nutso world.
Right.
And I don't know. I'm not going to do it justice by describing it, but if you get a chance, if you get 3 hours that you can
check it,
just check it out. But you know, the Batman.
That movie sucked,
dude. There was a lot of overacting, and the whole third act felt like it kind of came out of nowhere. But that's another one where it's like, ah, damn, this is a little too long. Killers of the Flower Moon was good.
I still need to see that.
It's good, but dude, during that movie, I'm just like, Jesus Christ, and like I feel like the it just kind of fizzled out. It didn't. If it would have ended earlier, it would have had more of an impact.
Right.
But it went on so long. It's like, dude, this could have ended. There's like no action. There's no. I thought that without spoiling, I thought shit was going to pop off and come back at the end, but it just kind of fizzles out.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, just cut a chunk of that out, man. And that was one where he was getting pissed that movie theaters were putting like intermissions and shit in it. It's like, well, bro, it's like
people need to go to the bathroom and get another drink.
Like Kill the Irishman was like 4 hours long, but it was like a Netflix movie. And right. So like,
you can pause it and whatever.
I don't know. And another thing I get on school nights, like nights that I work during the week, is like, I'll watch shit, what I call like school style. Remember, like you'd be in a classroom and you'd be watching a movie.
Yeah.
You'd catch 45 minutes. All right, class dismissed. You'd catch another bit the next day.
Yeah.
I'll do that. Like,
I don't like doing that.
It just happens, bro. Because I will fall asleep. I just fall asleep, man. If I sit down long enough after a hard day eating deviled eggs.
The only time I ever did something like that was on my lunch break when I worked at Guitar Center. There was the Danbury Dollar Saver literally right across the street. And so the matinee movies, I don't remember the exact dollar amount, but call it like $2. And I could go time up my lunch break where I could catch the first half of a movie one day and then the second half of a movie the next day. I didn't do that a ton, but I did that a few times.
That's cool. That's kind of weird, but I guess if it's only like a couple bucks.
So it cost me like $4 to watch a movie over 2 days. But yeah, dude. We've had the podcast. We've kind of had our own little vacation here. I told you about when I got my story from the plane when I got there. And then this morning, I'm recording this on very minimal sleep because we stayed up all night because we had to leave to get to the airport at like 1:30 in the morning, which Orlando Airport sucks. This is a side note. Orlando Airport sucks. I have TSA pre-check. We boarded at 4:16 a.m. TSA opens at 3 a.m., which TSA should never close at the Orlando Airport. There's too many people moving through there. My flight boards at 4:16. TSA pre doesn't open until 4. So I'm left with a choice. Do I want to go wait an hour in regular TSA or do I want to just stay in the TSA pre area? And I was like, I have been to this Orlando airport literally probably 20, 30 times. I have been dropped off here even in the middle of their busy hour and my bag's already checked and everything. All that's good. I was like, it's never taken me more than 3 minutes to get through this TSA pre-check. So I was like, I'm risking it, dude. I don't even care. I'll make it. And waited there till...
I did the same thing in your position.
Yeah, because I'd rather sit in a chair outside of TSA pre than stand in a big-ass line. And so I waited there. No problems. I was to my gate by 4:07. So I was good. I even figured last boarding is 4:46 anyway. So that gives me really 45 minutes. There's no way it's going to take that long. Plus I know I'm going to be one of the first people because I'm literally there. But anyway, so I get through there. I get on my plate. Once again, said the same thing. I buy one of the first three rows because I want that extra leg room. So that's something I pay extra money for because I want it. And so I sit down. I'm 3C again, sitting on. So I got the aisle seat, sit there on the flight there. I was the luckiest man alive, empty row. So I, dude,
ooh.
How sick.
Ooh.
I knew it wasn't going to be the case on this one because I saw it was going to be a full flight. So this standard white mom and her daughter come sit down beside me.
Cool.
I'm like getting my AirPods on and stuff. I got this sweet neck pillow. I got an eye mask. I'm ready, bro. Like I know how to do it. And she taps me, which already I am a... I don't talk to people on planes. I don't have any interest in talking to you. Yes, you're going to sit beside me. You do your own thing. I have everything I need. I'm fully capable of sitting in the seat by myself for however long this flight is going to be. Leave me alone.
And unless you're getting to use the bathroom.
Yeah, if you're going to use the bathroom, sure. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. That you can tap me for that. No big deal. But so she taps me and she goes, hey, I just wanted to ask, so my husband is sitting in 27C, and he just wanted to know if you would switch him so that we can all sit together. And I don't waste any time at all. I go, keep in mind, this is 4:16 in the morning, me as well. I go, no. I go, I paid for this extra leg room. I'm not switching him in 27C. And I just the audacity to ask me that, yeah, bro.
It would, like, be different if you were in any seat in the back.
Yeah.
I would have done that.
Same thing.
But yeah, you're crazy. And you know, because you bought these tickets for you and your daughter,
you know they're extended leg room.
You know that they're, and you know there's an upcharge for that.
Also, how about your bitch asses go ask the people in 27A and B if they want to switch you if you want to sit together? Because I'm sure they'll take the extra leg room. You're trying to dupe me, lady.
Yeah.
Who you think you are? Who you think I am?
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that.
And so, like, that pissed me off, bro. And then, so when I said, no, I bought this for the extra leg room, she literally goes, okay. And, oh, dude, I was just like, I'm just going to leave you alone. It's 4:16 in the morning. I'm on a plane. I ain't trying to, like, I was like, no, I ain't doing all this. But I almost wanted to, like, be like, let me break down what you just asked me to do just to show you how stupid you are. And, like, you thought I was, like, the fact you even thought I was going to do that is dumb. And I'm sorry that y'all got on frontier.com last night and thought, oh yeah, let's sit together in the nice row. I bought these tickets 3 months ago. I'm capable of planning. I'm not subsidizing your poor planning because I know what I'm doing. I'm sorry you don't know what you're doing. I do. And sorry you got to suffer. Hope your husband has fun in 27C.
Damn, boy. Damn.
Got me hot at 4:16 in the morning, dude.
Damn, boy.
And then I probably snored that whole time because I've been up all night. So I just
leaning on her.
Oh, dude. I probably just sacked out so hard because that flight disappeared. I woke up on landing.
Would he fly Frontier?
Yeah, we all did. I know he said he was never going to.
All right. Just making sure that was noted.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he said he was never going to. But
I mean, Frontier, I mean, you just gotta deal with it, dude.
I've had no problems with it, but I do also always buy one of the first three rows.
Well,
so,
the leg room, and I need to do that next time because I'm way too fat. And when me and Lindsay flew out to California, we got lucky to where there was no third wheel on our row, but coming back there was, and I'm in the middle, and I'm like, God damn, it's like neither of you guys want me in the middle. Yeah. But luckily, there was enough empty spots to where, dude, like, pissed off and like went somewhere else.
For me, it's not even about the, like, my size. It's literally like the back seats, bro. My knees are up against the thing.
You've
I have
got
to, like, tuck
no,
my,
you've
no
got
room.
No room to work, man.
But yeah, I could not believe that she asked me that, dude. And it's like, nice try, lady. Nice hustle, but not this dude, not today.
That's weird too, because you're so good to your neighbors here and you're so neighborly. You know, when I think of Dalton Sipes, the first word that pops in my head is neighborly.
I don't play with neighbors. I don't want to. I got enough people in my life. I got enough people I know. I got enough people. I need no one. I don't need a single person. I sure as hell don't need my neighbors.
Well, dude, with me, it's like I'm not trying to start a relationship with you, but like, dude, I'm a very friendly. I'd like to think I'm pretty neighborly. Like, if my neighbor
I'm
needed
friendly.
If my neighbor needed help with something, depending on the task, I would more than likely do it. I already told you I'm the self-appointed trash guy.
Yeah,
you just
want to be Mr. Nice Guy. I don't want to be Mr.
Nice
Guy.
Just, I don't know. They're my neighbors, man. We're all in this building together. I don't know. Try to keep the peace. Plus, I'm trying to keep people from getting pissed off because I know I'm the loudest one in that building. So I'm just trying to keep everybody cool.
My method is, you're not going to hear from me, and you can do whatever you want to do. Unless you start messing with my shit, you can be loud. You can do whatever you want. I'm not going to mess with you. Don't mess with me. Don't talk. Don't, like, I actively don't look at my neighbors. If they're outside, I just look away and walk to my car.
This isn't that great of a story, but it ties in with that. So I got a new neighbor under me. And if you recall, the last guy was just never there. And it was a beautiful arrangement. Like, I could just literally swamp stomp all over because I fee fi fo fum upstairs. Just boom, 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 boom. So it was kind of a nice arrangement. It's been a point of contention with neighbors in the past, just me living my life. And so I was actually waiting on some of this pod equipment to show up, and I was talking to you. I didn't realize, because some of this stuff was at price at a certain point, that you have to sign for it.
Right.
Even though I told him, like, dude, just leave it outside. That's a risk I'm taking. And they would come at all sorts of bullshit hours where I'm not there.
Yeah.
I could never sign for it. Well, I was going round and round with this Amazon driver one day, just kind of pissing me off. And then the dude like comes up into my building. Like they're supposed to like stay at the front door. I don't even know how they got the code to it, but he knocks on my door. And then of course, Wimpy just ballistic. Cause he thinks it's a DoorDash. Wimpy must think I'm a magician. Cause every time I open the door, there's another sack of food just sitting there. So anyway, I'm waiting on another piece of equipment, and I had actually talked to the guy going round and round trying to figure out the time, and there's a knock at my door. It's right after work, and like I'm almost naked,
right?
Because I'm like getting ready to shower. Wimpy's going off, and I just had it because it was probably a Tuesday after work, and I was just fit to be tied. And I just go, God damn it, shut the fuck up to Wimpy.
Yeah,
I love him to death, but I cannot stand that bark, dude.
Yeah.
It just cuts through me, and I'm just like, you know, we're trying to be quiet, so let me yell three times louder than you're fucking barking and tell you to shut the fuck up. And I'm like, God damn it. And then I go, it's probably that fucking Amazon delivery guy. And I go, and I'm dressed at this point. I open the door, and it's this girl under me, and she's got to be like maybe 20 years old, and she's just like, she might as well be shaking like a leaf. And I'm like, Christ almighty. And you wouldn't care because you're not neighborly, but
no.
That's her first impression. It's the worst I am not that.
See, that's why it wouldn't bother me, because I'm not going to be interacting with you. I'm not going to be someone in your life.
I immediately tried to act like I wasn't a guy just screaming fuck you to my dog and yelling at an Amazon guy. I was like, oh, yeah, hey, my name's Adam. What do you do? Da, 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 da. And
see, I don't want to know what your name is. I don't want to know what you do.
I even, found out she works at a vet. And so I'm like, great. So now you definitely hate me if I'm like yelling at my dog. And so I always pull, this is a move I'll get myself into, dude. I said it to the neighbor moving out that I didn't even know. I said it to the dude across the hall that's moving out, and I said it to this girl moving in. Hey, if you need a hand,
see, let bro, me know. No,
I do it, and it,
no,
and it, like I just, I'm like, hey, if you need a hand, because I will do it. I in my head, I'm like, please do not take me up on that offer. But if you do,
see, I'm just honest with myself. No,
I will. Well, I think I say it because I get all excited because I like the idea of being that guy, but then I realize like what I signed myself up for when I do it. But anyway,
like, y'all better have some friends if you need some help, because I ain't doing it.
Now, every interaction I've had with her, I've just like tried to be like extra nice. And she's
that's
like,
so funny.
Anyway, that's my
yeah, it is. Story. I just the neighborly thing.
We are polar opposites with neighbors. For sure. I try to be a neighborly guy.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, bro. That was my week. You got anything else for us today?
Nah, man. Think that does it. The DPZ's run dry, baby.
Yeah, so. Dude. Till next time.